Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Roger Schmidt is our guest this morning. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Roger is director of the Alaska Arts Southeast, also known as the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, and he is the amazing and wonderful Oz of summertime. I shouldn't call you Oz.
Oh,
Oz.
No, it's true. Oz. I that was the first play I acted in middle school, and I was Oz. And, of course, the whole point is that when you take the blanket off, I was hidden behind a blanket in this production.
Right.
Just some puny little guy that is
making the flames shoot and making the big voice resound.
Yes, exactly.
In the hall and intimidate Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion. And I think the image is in my mind because you are sort of the guy almost sequestered in your office now who's kind of making this whole thing run. And I know Sunday evening there might have been other people who were outside, you know, maybe on their decks. It was a beautiful evening Sunday, and I happened to be visiting some friends. We were baking up a salmon, and we heard this roar just wafting over town, this kind of cheering. It was like being on a college campus and it's a football game is happening, and the home team scores a touchdown. And we're going, what is that? What is that noise? And we realized it was coming from the fine arts camp. It was the first day of middle school camp on Sunday, right?
It was, yeah. And I'd like to tell you that it was, a major football game going on, but actually it was, a bunch of arts kids spelling out the acronym of the fine arts camp, which is SFAC, on the lawn, playing some theater games.
Okay.
All 230 of them plus our large staff.
When I went to camp, I think we went, first thing right in to make our lanyards.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it sounded great. It's kind of funny. It's sort of a physical manifestation of the energy that is blanketing Sitka right now, and I think the Sitka Fine Arts Camp has a lot to do with it. And you've got some demographics of, I mean, you have a lot of students this year and a lot of students from all over the place, right?
We do, yeah. I think we're really proud of a couple things. We're proud of the diversity of our students. This summer, out of students that, we have an option. People can report, if they want what ethnicity they identify with. And 24% of our students that reported said that they were sort of non-Caucasian. The majority of those are Alaska Native students. And then we have Asian and we have Latino and Pacific Islander. Just this range of different kinds of students. When I say different kinds of students, I mean students from rural communities, from urban communities, from the lower 48, from Alaska. And our faculty matches that as well. We have local artists that work at the camp, local counselors from Sitka, so staff. We have artists from other places in Alaska. We have a wonderful Athabascan beater skin sewer, Selena Alexander, that's teaching at the camp this summer from Huslia originally. We have on the other side of the kind of spectrum, we have a writer from, New York City, an actor from New York City. We have people coming from all different places. And here's the facts of, or sort of here's our numbers. I always, find these interesting. We have 687 students registered for 9 camps. We had our elementary camps that happened last week, including a circus camp and a string camp, an adult camp, middle school, high school camps, musical theater. And then we have a jazz vocal workshop for adults and advanced high school students, Native Jazz Quartet, Native Jazz Workshop. Ed Littlefield does that. We have, all told, at our elementary camp, we had about 170 students total. Middle school right now, we've got 229 students. They have a choice of 71 different classes to choose from. So again, this diversity of discipline as well. So we have theater, dance, visual arts, creative writing, music, Alaskan Native arts, and 71 different classes in those disciplines that students can select from. They can pick five. We have five students this year from China. Let's see, 584 students that come from 35 communities in Alaska. And when you just think of Alaska alone, you think of 35 communities. Our state doesn't have many communities. So this is representing students from Barrow. It's representing students from Metlakatla, from Unalaska, from Talkeetna, Anchorage, everywhere in sort of from the northern, the most southern to the most western, and everywhere in between. We also have 76 students from 27 states. And I think that, again, just brings all these different perspectives, ideas, experiences for these kids to all, feel, one, like they all belong because there's so many different perspectives. And then secondly, that there's different ideas to grab from and there's different, people to meet. And it's just an incredible community building experience to have people from so many different places.
And I've noticed a phenomenon, and no doubt you're familiar with it, that often when we have these out-of-town students, mom and dad come along too for the ride, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. The economic force of the camp now as a visitors industry is huge. We're running 10 weeks of programs this summer, camps, and hundreds of parents are coming to town to go to final performances. Many parents are spending the 2 weeks in town because they're finding that Sitka is a wonderful place to be here, to be in the summer, and they're taking advantage of the music festival at night. They're going down to the Science Center during the day. They're taking nature excursions. They're camping. All these things that Sitka presents so well for you call it sort of a longer extended stay visitor.
Yeah, we had a couple in the station just yesterday who brought a student into the middle school camp, and they said, it's a family vacation, but the kids are occupied.
Exactly. And then at night, and that's the great thing, at night they can come and see, a show at the camp. And there's just a huge growth on that, the number of parents that come, number of family members that come to Sitka to make it their vacation.
Roger, yesterday during this time slot, we had Carol Odess and Ann O'Brien from the Fine Arts Camp.
Sure.
Came in to talk about Allen Hall. Carol Odess, a major donor there, the Odess Theater.
Yeah.
Will be carrying her name. It has been a lot of Allen, but I'm wondering, how is the rest of the old Sheldon Jackson campus holding up under this influx of bodies and activities and things?
That's a great question. So it's been 2.5 years now since we took over these 20 buildings essentially, and when we you were right there as a volunteer, what it was like when we took it over. It was seen very much as a liability. Every building was sort of a ticking time bomb of problems. One of the expressions that we used is, if we haven't fixed it yet, then it's broken. It's like there isn't an in-between. There aren't things that are okay, and then we're just fixing the things on the side. If it hasn't been touched, if it hasn't been worked on, there's something wrong with it, and it's in trouble, and it's just a matter of time before it fails. We've been really fortunate. We've been going after roofs. That's the single most important thing on the campus. If you save a roof, then you got a building for the next 30 to 50 years, and you can worry about what you're going to do inside that building. But without a roof, that building is gone really quickly, and so we were able to replace I'm going to go through roofs because you can see how important this is. Hames put a new flat roof on last year. That was really critical because it was dripping onto the gym floor and has caused quite a bit of damage in there. Whitmore, and this is one of these little miracle stories, but the first winter on the campus, I was in my office and I kept getting phone calls from people, well-meaning people, telling me that the roof was blowing off of Whitmore. And if there isn't anything I can do about that, I knew it was in bad shape, and it was a storm. So I didn't leave the office till after 5. Why bother? And I go out and there's shingles all the way up to Yaw Chapel. You know, it's just a mess. And there's about a quarter of the roof is missing. A few days later, I get a phone call, and it's a person saying that a woman's left in her estate $100,000 for repair of a student facility at the Sheldon Jackson campus. And after the college had closed, they weren't sure what to do with the money, but they had been following our progress, and they wanted to know, being a nonprofit, if we would be willing to accept that money and if we had a project for a for a student facility. And Whitmore, of course, is a dorm. And we use it as classrooms downstairs and then upstairs as a dorm. So we were able to then that summer then put the new roof on. So
yeah. Roger, we're just about out of time, but
I could go on.
I know we barely touched on it, but just in sort of in closing here, it's sort of what Carol Odess was talking about yesterday. It's like the campus, this graceful old campus with this incredible historic mission harnessed to this new vision, is you are finding the money to kind of to pull the camp into the future.
People are giving really generously. When we stepped off sort of the cliff of like, how do you take on a project like this? People kept asking what the plan was. And I said, well, you know, it's not a plan. It's a hope. We believe that this thing's worth saving and we're going to do what we can. And we hope people will join us because we can't do it alone. What we didn't anticipate was, the level that people would join. We have almost 700 volunteers now that have been involved, putting in almost 40,000 volunteer hours. In addition to that, we've been able to raised through individual donations and grants that are about something called creative placemaking, the very idea of what we're doing, which is taking an unutilized area of a community and transforming it.